died from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
CBS News Brief. The spokesman for the International Federation of Red Cross at Red Crescent told the BBC Gaza hospitals need immediate help.
Something needs to be done in the next hours, not even days. And first and foremost, we need a safe and unhindered access in every part of the Gaza Strip. Not only in the south, we need also to have access in the north.
In New York City, Mayor Eric Adams is part of an investigation into campaign fundraising. Former attorney Zachary Carter says his electronic devices were seized.
You're going to find evidence of when calls were made or received and who made or received those calls.
Big game for Michigan today at Penn State. And coach Jim Harbaugh won't be on the sidelines. The Big Ten banned him because of a signal-stealing scheme.
Game two or three, not being on the sideline, probably not a big deal. Against Penn State, it could be a big deal because of communication issues.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. A new study reveals how bad toxic chemicals are for brain development in kids. More from Eric Galatis.
Children of color and from low-income families are not only exposed to more dangerous toxic chemicals, including lead, tailpipe, and other air pollution, plastics, and pesticides, they also experience disproportionate harm to brain development compared to their white and higher-income peers, according to a new report. Co-author Devin Payne Sturges says 5 decades of data shows that poverty exacerbates these impacts.
The combined experience, say, of exposure to lead in the environment and being from an impoverished community or a low-income family actually worsened the negative cognitive impacts.
Americans of all ages are exposed to some level of toxins, but children whose brains are damaged by these chemicals find it harder to concentrate in class, to recall lessons learned, and are more likely to fail and repeat grades. Payne Sturges says that communities of color are not simply making bad decisions about where to raise families. Unhealthy environments are a result of decisions made by industry leaders and government policies.
And it has a long history related to discriminatory practices, residential segregation that force people only to live in certain places that often happen to be places where polluting industries would site.
Payne Sturges says interventions such as replacing lead pipes that bring drinking water into homes are important, but she says policies are needed at the national level to address the cumulative public health impacts. This is Eric Galatis. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Seth here, host of Seth Faces the Music, which totally makes sense. It's on every Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR. Each week, I pick a theme and play a bunch of songs related to that theme. And this week, I'm doing songs about the color green. So join me, won't you? And we'll face the music together.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there. And around there. And even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Temperatures getting low, but demand remains high? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. French President Emmanuel Macron wants Israeli troops to stop its attacks on Gaza. He told the BBC,
I call for a ceasefire, and I will urge them for a ceasefire, for an humanitarian ceasefire.
While he condemned what he called the terrorist actions of Hamas, he says Israel must stop killing babies and women. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with more.
The Hamas-run health ministry says more than 11,000 people have been killed in Gaza. The U.S. Secretary of State speaking directly about the spiraling death toll.
Far too many Palestinians have been killed. Far too many have suffered.
On Friday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told troops the fighting will not stop until the task is completed.
Netanyahu also said, quote, these crimes that Hamas is committing today in Gaza will be committed tomorrow in Paris, New York, and anywhere in the world. The Big Ten has banned Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh from the sidelines. Our Errol Burnett on what the punishment's all about.
This stems from ongoing investigations into the team's covert operations in which opposing teams' signals and plays were being recorded in the lead-up to games, a violation of NCAA rules. Some sports writers are calling this a slap on the wrist, since Harbaugh can still participate in team activities during the week.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is being investigated about his campaign fundraising. WCBS-TV's Dick Brennan with the mayor's response.
We're going to comply and be as transparent as possible.
But at a press conference on Wednesday, the mayor never mentioned what happened to him on Monday, that the FBI approached him on the street, asked his security to step aside, and confiscated two iPhones and an iPad. They were returned a few days later.
Letters believed to contain fentanyl have been sent to election offices in several cities. Former Department of Homeland Security Deputy Assistant Secretary Tom Werrick.
Someone is trying to make people fearful as they open ballots, as they respond to routine correspondence. And this is the exact definition of domestic terrorism.
Moody's Investors Service has lowered its ratings outlook of the nation's debt to negative. This could hurt your investment portfolios, make it even more expensive to borrow money, and make it more costly for the government to pay off its debts. The timing of this comes as Congress is once again facing the threat of a government shutdown. Funding runs out on Friday.
Dragon contact and soft capture complete.
NASA's SpaceX has docked at the International Space Station. It's the rocket's 29th commercial resupply mission, which is also testing out laser communications from the space station to Earth. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Every livestock farmer knows they can't control the weather. Recent growing seasons have shown rain can be hard to come by at times. Now you can add protection with a pasture rangeland forage policy through Ag Country Farm Credit Services. PRF policies help protect you against future yield losses caused by a lack of rain. Better yet, they're customizable and can cover hay and pasture acres. To learn about a PRF policy, contact your local Ag Country office today.
Ho, 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 ho! Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store.
Your keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
of the federal law for possession and use of a weapon. That perhaps was the only somewhat lighter aspect of an otherwise very seriously, appropriately serious discussion. Along the way, a lot of the justices recognizing that this case would not be one in which rights under the Second Amendment are expanded, they begin to attack once again Bruin. This notion that, again, according to the Supreme Court case of just last year, Clarence Thomas wrote, the government must identify an historical analog, he said, something in the history, something in the past that would justify this particular piece of restrictive legislation. So it doesn't have to be necessarily an historical twin, but somehow you've got to be able to look backwards and identify some basis upon which in our history, our nation's history, some history, there has been some basis for doing exactly what the federal Congress has done here. Well, we know well that in the history of our own nation, certainly the history of mankind on the face of this planet, the notion of domestic violence has not been commonplace. It is a much more contemporary concept, appropriately ensuring that domestic partners are not in fact victimized by their other partners. That's a concept now written into the law more recently, but not a part of our history, regrettably, not a part of recognizing in many of these cases, if not most of them, that women have been on the receiving end of domestic violence, and understanding the law needs to respond to that. That's what the federal government was all about, the Congress was all about, in saying that people who have domestic violence restraining orders imposed upon them shouldn't also be carrying and using the very weapons that could perpetuate that domestic violence against their partners. Supreme Court almost certainly going to embrace that fundamental notion, but at least two or three of the justices say now is the time for us to revisit, even 15, 16 months later, whether or not this look backwards in history under Bruin is right. And also noting along the way, as did Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, that's already producing all these various results around the country, variations in interpretations of Bruin. We're going to get to a couple of those in just a moment or so, that send mixed messages to America about what the Second Amendment does and does not mean. Some courts finding that there are historical precedents for modern legislation that does, in fact, control appropriately, preserving our safety and security when it comes to guns in America. Others finding that there is no historical precedent for these kinds of things and therefore disqualifying convictions under those laws. We've got a patchwork around the country that continues to develop day after day. The court here this past week identifying a number of things that need to be fixed inside Bruin, the language of it, the intent of it, the purpose of it, and the Solicitor General herself arguing strongly that this is the opportunity now for the Supreme Court to draw back, if not completely rescind, Bruin in what it said about this standard. A significant case coming out of the Supreme Court, almost certainly happening in May or June. After oral argument, once again, the takeaway from all of this is the court will likely back away from this extreme position in Bruin, maybe give us some additional language that tempers that. As the New York Times has also noted, this is not the case. This is not the Second Amendment case that the Supreme Court probably wants to be affiliated with. One legitimate commentator said that Supreme Court does not want to be noted as being the court that establishes a guideline out there, or even a headline out there that says Supreme Court upholds gun rights of domestic abusers. That's an image. That's a statement. This Supreme Court, plainly based upon the oral argument of this past week, does not want to be a part of. And so predictably, we will see. We will see in May and June of next year what they do. But likely this past week that in Rahimi, we will not get a further extension of the Bruin caseload and the case precedent. We're instead going to get some limitation on that, or at a minimum, some articulation that this particular kind of federal restriction on the use of weapons when you have a domestic violence restraining order against you, that can stand. And that is a legitimate exercise of the legislative function in America. Significant case. We'll talk more about it down the road. We should also talk this morning about one of those cases invoking Bruin from our own Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago just this past week. Again, having to do with the implications of Bruin. The Seventh Circuit recently focused on whether a particular kind of weapon, in particular assault weapons, an assault weapon ban that had been established by the state of Illinois and the city of Naperville, both of those jurisdictions enacting bans on assault weapons in those jurisdictions, the state of Illinois generally and the city of Naperville, again, a western, southwestern suburb of Chicago, both of them banning these kinds of weapons, principally in the wake of the Highland Park shooting of July 4th of 2022. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment or so as well. Both of them establishing legislatively you cannot possess, cannot use these weapons in the state of Illinois and certainly that particular municipality as well. The majority opinion of the Seventh Circuit upholding that decision by the Illinois legislature on whether that type of weapon is in fact protected under the Second Amendment, finding that it is not. The opinion was written by a circuit court judge. Her name is Diane Wood, also joined in by another justice judge named Frank Easterbrook. Frank Easterbrook used to be, as did Diane Wood, a professor at the University of Chicago. Both of them, some of my instructors when I was there at the law school there in Hyde Park, both of them drawing a distinction between types of bearable arms that are commonly used for self-defense, making reference to Heller, and the types of weapons typically reserved only for military uses. As we have talked before, from my time in Iraq and certainly the exposure that all of you veterans have to these kinds of weapons, you know well that automatic weapons of these kinds are not intended for domestic uses. They're intended for as to be weapons of war. That's exactly what Judges Wood and Easterbrook said in their opinion of just this past week. Said this: the state of Illinois, in the legislation that lies at the heart of this case, has decided to regulate assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, a decision that is valid only if the regulated weapons lie on the military side of that line and thus are not within the class of arms protected by the Second Amendment. Several municipalities have done the same, affirming once again the capacity of those municipalities of the state of Illinois to impose a ban on assault weapons in the state of Illinois, just to the south of us here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, gun rights groups who are responding to this are promising to bring this case where? To the United States Supreme Court. And so this case may well end up among the docket in this term, perhaps a future term, determining whether the decision under Bruin of the majority of this three-judge panel of the Seventh Circuit is right or wrong. So we may hear this again, but it is reassuring to know that even under a Bruin regime, which is out there today, being the subject of discussion by the Supreme Court as late as last Tuesday, the Seventh Circuit finding under Bruin that there's a distinction between weapons of war that have no place on our domestic lands, our properties, our engagements with each other, and those things that do, in fact, are in fact military in operation, and finding that a ban of assault weapons in the state of Illinois is indeed constitutional. That comes out of the Seventh Circuit just this past week as well, promising from the gun rights groups more advocacy in opposition to what the Seventh Circuit has said just this past week. And so we know, I mentioned already, the Highland Park shooting of July 4th of 2022. And again, the fact that the Illinois legislators decided to impose that ban based upon the horror of what happened that day. Seven people, parade goers on July 4th, killed in that municipal area just to the south of us. Many others injured. We continue to hear about the catastrophic effects of that event in July 4th of 2022. We know as well that in the wake of that event, the local and federal authorities there have charged Robert Cremino III, a young man at the time who was a minor at the time. Now he's 19 years old. He is an adult, with not only those homicides, but also with federal offenses involving that assault, that horrific melee at the time. And as a result of that, again, we know that that case involving the actual shooter, the next hearing in it is scheduled for December 11th. Mr. Cremino III pleaded guilty to 21 first-degree murder counts, 3 for each person killed, 48 counts of attempted murder, and 48 counts of aggravated battery. Next court appearance once again in December 11th, coming up fairly soon. That case not yet at trial, a part of the pretrial proceedings going on right now. Along the way, what happened? What happened just this past week in a much related case. A lot of discussion, appropriately in America, in the wake of all this about what about the people who may support the acquisition, the purchase of firearms by people who engage in this kind of horrific conduct? When we come back, we'll talk about the father of Robert Cremino III and his involvement with the federal and state justice system in Highland Park in Illinois and beyond right after this brief break, and come back for that important discussion. Whoa.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Are you looking for a part?
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. With kids back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Make Exergen thermometer the chosen thermometer for your home or business to check for fever, where accuracy matters. When measuring temperature at home and at work, use an Exergen thermometer to keep your family and your colleagues safe. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Quality Foods makes Thanksgiving meal planning easy. Get your Thanksgiving dinner from Quality Foods on Baker or West Grand Avenue. Complete heat and serve whole turkey or turkey breast dinners with mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, cranberry relish, green bean casserole, roll, and even choice of dessert. Now simply just reheat and serve. Voila! Thanksgiving dinner is done while supplies last. Call ahead by November 20th to order. Thanksgiving dinners and the fixings from Quality Foods Baker in West Grand and Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Welcome back this morning, Saturday, November 11th, Veterans Day 2023, as we talk about firearms in America, some significant events going on in the state of Illinois, including this decision by our Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals to uphold a ban on assault weapons there, a case probably going to the Supreme Court. And now chatting about what happened on July 4th of 2022, this melee, this horrific event, taking the lives of seven people in Highland Park as a result of the use of one such weapon. What happened just this past week? Well, the father of the shooter of in that event of July 4th of 2022 pleaded guilty just recently to seven counts of misdemeanor reckless conduct after doing what? After helping his then teenage son, his son Robert, obtain a license to buy the firearms prior to that 2022 mass shooting, effectively giving him the authorization, the permission under the law to get the very firearms that resulted in the catastrophic assault upon the people of Highland Park, including those specific seven people and many others injured in that horrific event. The plea deal itself reduces the elder's crimes from various felony counts to which the 59-year-old defendant here would have faced up to 3 years behind bars. Instead, as a part of this resolution, he's going to spend 60 days in a county jail, 2 years probation, and surrender his own firearms identification card, a thing called the FOID card, and any other firearms or ammunition in his possession. Also prohibited, rightly, from sponsoring any future applications for minors for such a card, as he did for his own son. His jail sentence, the 60-day sentence, scheduled to begin this coming week. Again, the father of the shooter going to prison, finding by the court, by the prosecution, by our society, by our community, that there's responsibility for these kinds of behaviors beyond the shooters themselves. The shooter, again, going to trial probably sometime in 2024. That not yet resolved. The assumption, the presumption of innocence attends the now adult shooter. But his father pleading guilty for what he had done. getting a sentence that an awful lot of people are looking at and saying, gee, that doesn't sound very, very strict, very, very significant, and probably it is not. But it is nonetheless a first step in movement toward responsibility for people who facilitate, who support, who in any way encourage or assist in those people who would steal from us our safety and security through firearms to which they should not be given possession and certainly should not be using in America. Along the way, the prosecutor said this. This wasn't a fishing license. Again, speaking about the authorization given to the young shooter at the time. This wasn't a permission slip to go to the museum. This was a permission slip, the prosecutor said, for his son to buy an assault rifle. And when he signed this permission slip, he knew exactly how dangerous it was for this now 19-year-old to have a weapon. And that indeed is the lesson coming out of Highland Park, coming out of that particular prosecution just in recent days. A lesson, once again, as we've talked about deterrence, not only to the father here, who certainly will never do this again, but also to other people who might think twice, should think twice, about whether that they will support purchases by anyone else, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers, who might otherwise be ineligible to purchase weapons. In this particular case, a father effectively purchasing a weapon for his son through the authorization given under Illinois law. Today, that father going to prison for the next couple of months for that specific conduct. And then we have one more entry into our focus this morning on firearms in America. It comes out of the Fifth Circuit. We've talked a lot about the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in the South there. The Fifth Circuit, contrary to the Seventh Circuit, again, consistent with some courts, inconsistent with others, as the Supreme Court has commented on just this past Tuesday, a federal appeals court of the Fifth Circuit finds that ghost gun limits are unlawful. What are ghost guns? Well, you know these well. Ghost guns are sold online as kits, and they require basically the purchaser to assemble them at home. You buy them online, you get them delivered, you assemble those guns at home. Because the parts of these so-called ghost guns are not considered functioning firearms, you can't use them in their disassembled way to shoot. They could be sold without serial numbers. In other words, the parts do not have serial numbers on them, and the purchasers are not required to undergo background checks, all the kinds of things that are in place in other circumstances to ensure that we know not only who's purchasing firearms, but the uses of those firearms under the Second Amendment will be lawful, as the Supreme Court has identified it in recent cases. In 2022, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, responsible for investigating and also regulating the use and the focus of these kinds of guns out there, updated the definitions of the terms firearm, frame, and receivers under something called the Gun Control Act of 1968, so that ghost guns would in fact be covered under existing laws. In other words, another federal rule in this case, under federal law, that basically prohibits your use of them under these circumstances. A three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit, again based in New Orleans, ruled that the ATF basically overstepped its bounds, its authority, when updating this rule and prescribing those particular definitions. The circuit court judge named Kurt Engelhardt wrote that the ATF's rule on ghost guns, quote, flouts the clear statutory text and exceeds the legislatively imposed limits on agency authority in the name of public policy. In other words, the judge saying this is not consistent with the legislative enactment here, the rule by ATF, not proper, not constitutional under the Second Amendment, went on to say ATF, in promulgating its final rule, attempted to take on the mantle of Congress to do something with respect to gun control. This according to the circuit court judge writing on behalf of the majority of the Fifth Circuit. But it is not the province of an executive agency to write laws for our nation. That coming out of the Fifth Circuit, again, finding that ghost gun limits are unlawful under federal law and under ATF rules. Now, the Department of Justice that is, again, involved in all these cases, including Rahimi, Department of Justice through the Attorney General and certainly the criminal division there, is expected to appeal that decision. It's an important case coming out of the Fifth Circuit, just as other groups are going to be appealing almost certainly the Seventh Circuit case, as we described it before. This case almost certainly going to be appealed by the U.S. Department of Justice. Where?
to the United States Supreme Court. And so adding even more to its docket that already has when it comes to firearms in America, this all-important focus upon what the Second Amendment means, what it doesn't mean. And again, consistent with what the Supreme Court has said just this past week, Bruin causing major confusion out there with this focus on history and no longer focusing on analysis based upon what keeps us safe and secure and whether the legislation passed by our legislators is intended to that end. When we come back, we're going to talk more about other things going on in the courts of America, including a court in New York City. Come back right after this brief break.
And he's talking with David, who's still in the Navy, and probably will be for life.
On air at 92. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Let's face it, we're all on the go. Go to work, school, sports, appointments, family gatherings, you name it. Get on the road hassle-free with A Street Auto. With a wide range of inventory, financing options, and excellent customer service, you'll be on the go in no time. Their friendly and knowledgeable staff is ready to help you find a car you deserve, priced to fit your budget. Shop their virtual showroom at 8thStreetAuto.com. Then stop by for a test drive.
Go, go, go to 8th Street Auto.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Israel's attacks on Hamas in Gaza are intensifying around hospitals. A surgeon told the BBC the situation is dire.
We are in the main building of the hospital. No, we cannot get outside of the building because there is a shooting everywhere.